And greetings, friends around the world. This is Roderick C. Emeritus bringing you this commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. We've come through the entire book in this commentary. We're very grateful to be able to have gone through this with you and to share with you the experiences of some 30 years teaching the Gospel class in Ambassador College. And I hope you've gained some insights into the book of Matthew you haven't had before. But now I want to give you something special here at the very end, and I hope it will be very special and very helpful to every one of you. I want to give you an overview of the highlights of this book today that can help you grasp what Christ taught and give you the highlights as I consider them. And I wish I could give you twice as many highlights, but we won't take as much time to do that. Nevertheless, open up the book of Matthew and let's go through some of the very key points that Jesus Christ taught. Notice the beginning of Jesus' ministry back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew 4 and verse 23. And follow along in your Bible. Turn with me and you'll enjoy this. You'll learn from it. Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So from the very beginning, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as it's sometimes called, because it's not the kingdom in heaven. It's not Mr. Morgan's piggy bank, you know, the Bank of Morgan. Mr. Morgan didn't swallow his piggy bank. It's not the bank in Morgan. It's the bank of Morgan. Morgan controls that. It's the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is God's throne. He controls that kingdom. So Jesus went all over preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. These two things were put together. Jesus would preach the truth of God and he would heal the sick, showing God's power to forgive not only spiritual sins, but to take away the penalty, the suffering, the sickness, the terrible feelings and so forth of physical mistakes, physical sins, if you would call them that. And one is a type of the other. And so Jesus healed all sickness and disease. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So he healed every sickness, every disease, and then cast out unclean spirits, fallen spirits who followed Satan the devil in his rebellion against God. And through the power of God, Jesus cast those out. Then we go to chapter 5, and here we have the Sermon on the Mount, as it is called. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when Jesus was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit, that doesn't mean spiritually poor, but it means those who are broken, who are humbled, who are willing to listen. And he went ahead explaining the right attitudes. Blessed are those who mourn spiritually. Blessed are the meek. Meek means teachable, who are willing to learn and teachable, like little children. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? These attitudes will get us into the kingdom of God. Then he said in verse 17, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," which means to fill to the full. He came to magnify the law. It tells us back in Isaiah 42, verse 21, Christ was sent to magnify the law and make it holy. Did you ever put a magnifying glass on something? It doesn't destroy it. It simply makes it far bigger and far more meaningful. You can see it in all of its intricate parts. And so Jesus did that. He magnified God's law. He showed the spiritual intent, the great spiritual purpose, and the attitude in which we ought to keep it, not doing away with it at all, but making it all the more binding. "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, one little crossing of a T or dotting of an I in the Hebrew alphabet will not pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Every human being will have to learn to keep God's law or they won't be in God's kingdom. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments," men often try to say the fourth commandment is the least and get rid of that one. Well, it doesn't make any difference which one you think is the least. All 10 are God's commandments, written by the finger of God. "And whoever teaches men to break even the least of the commandments and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Christ talked about God's law. He was certainly talking about the Ten Commandments. Then he goes on a little later and he says, your righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And he shows then, you've heard it was said, you shall not murder. But I'm telling you, you're not to even have the attitude of hate in your heart. You're not to think murder. You're not to think hatred. And yet a whole American society is filled with images of violence and death, spawning that type of attitude, of course, and that's terrible. And then he went into verse 27 here. You'll see more about the Ten Commandments. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. And that was one of the Ten Commandments also. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, Jesus said. You're doing the act in your mind. You're running through that in your own mind, and in that way you're committing adultery. And so you're breaking the spirit of the law. And Jesus magnified God's law and made it holy. And he tells us to keep it not only in the letter, but in the spirit. Even more difficult and even more meaningful, of course, because then we develop the very character of God. We learn to really love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't just barely keep ourselves back physically from killing or committing adultery. We don't even put those images in our minds. We don't think about it and wish we could do it. We get rid of the attitude. So when we're made spirit beings in the very family of God, we won't have that kind of attitude in our hearts. That's what God wants. In verse 43, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Some had taught that. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Can you imagine men going to war and yet having that attitude? Of course you can't. That is the exact antithesis of everything Jesus Christ stood for. Warfare is the exact opposite of the teachings of Christ. And so Christ taught them a different way of life. And our so-called Christian civilization goes totally contrary to that over and over, as we have discussed. In chapter 6, he gives them a way of life. He says, take heed that you not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward. He tells you to help others, but quietly, not trying to show off, not establishing some big foundation in your name to get a lot of human credit, but quietly giving and helping and serving. Then he says, when you pray, he assumes you would pray. A Christian must pray. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray showing off to others. He says, don't repeat the same thing over and over using vain repetitions, memorized prayers, blah, 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 just like you've been doing all the time. Don't do that. Jesus commanded you to pray from the heart when you understand these verses. And talk to God as your Father. Then he says, later on here in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrite showing off to men, but he shows when you fast, he shows you should be fasting, doing without food and water to seek the invisible God, to get closer to that God. Christians should be giving. They should be praying. They should be fasting. He talks about a way of life that most Christians have never heard of, seeking God with their being. And then he shows how we're not to be worrying about what we'll eat or drink or put on, the clothes we'll wear or where we'll live or so on. He says in verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first, have your mind on what is important. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God's kingdom. Seek God's way of life. Cry out for God to send Jesus back to this earth as King of Kings and do all you can to prepare for it personally and helping others know about it, helping others learn the truth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And back in Psalm 119, verse 172, God says, all thy commandments are righteousness. That's what the commandments are. They are righteousness. God expresses his character through the Ten Commandments. And so seek God's kingdom and his character. Seek to express that righteousness by keeping God's law. And all these things, these physical things, will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, these physical things, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Don't always worry about all the physical things. Seek God's kingdom. He'll take care of you. Then he says down in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Here preachers who preached in Christ's name. They claim to do great works in his name, and Jesus tells them in the judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that, my friends, is the way it's worded right here in the New King James Version of your Bible and other versions, because the Greek word is exactly that. Anomos, against law. These preachers have said you don't have to keep God's law. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who have cheap grace, you who say just believe on Christ, just give your heart to the Lord, just accept Christ, and that's all you have to do. And what a lie that is. He's going to tell those guys, get out of here. I don't know you because you taught a way of life contrary to my law, the very character of God. You who practice lawlessness. That's powerful stuff. Please listen. Please understand for your good. In Matthew chapter 8, we find in verse 16, when evening had come, he was here teaching people, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That prophecy was to be fulfilled. In his body, when he was beaten, he paid the penalty of our physical sickness, our suffering, our physical mistakes, our physical sin, if you would, and took that on himself so we could be healed. He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He told his ministers to do the same thing. And that's what ministers of Christ ought to be doing today, but very few people do. Most of them don't even know the true gospel, so they couldn't preach it, and they certainly don't heal the sick and cast out demons, not real demons. In chapter 10, he said, he called his 12 disciples. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And he sent them out, and he names them. And in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out, commanded them, saying, don't go into the way of the Samaritans or Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Beware, be ready to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom means government. Secondly, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. He told them to do these things, raise the dead, I mean. So he healed them. He told them to go out and heal people. First of all, preach the gospel, then heal the sick. Thirdly, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This was the kind of ministry that Jesus had and the kind of message he told them to go out and the kind of actions he told them to take. Back in Matthew 19, a young man came to Christ and asked him in verse 16, Matthew 19:16, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, here's Jesus Christ telling this young man how to enter eternal life. Was this to be all changed around after he died? Think about it. Who had the authority to change it all around, contrary to the Son of God? Jesus answered, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. That is the way. Let God build his character inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Let God fashion and mold you. Surrender your life to God so Christ can live his life in you through the Spirit. He said, which? And then Jesus began to name some of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and so forth. Yes, the Ten Commandments are God's character. Will you obey what Christ taught, or will you allow men to deceive you with clever words of deception to turn you away from true Christianity? So as we found then at the very end of Jesus' ministry, Matthew 28, verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18, after his resurrection, after everything was nailed to the cross that was nailed there, then Jesus came, Matthew 28, verse 18, and he talked to his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, not just the Jews, all the nations, and baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, all the nations, the Chinese, the Russians, the Canadians, the Americans, everybody, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And we've just got through reviewing the fact that Jesus taught them constantly to keep the Ten Commandments, to obey God's law, and that they would be considered unknown by Christ. He wouldn't even recognize them if they were lawless men, not teaching God's law. He said, go out and teach all nations this way of life. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Christ is the living, active head of the true church of God. I am with you even to the end of the age. He would be with them, guiding them, leading them, inspiring them. And he will be with and guiding and leading and inspiring us, my friends, and helping us and empowering us. If we have the faith, the understanding, and the courage to step out and do what Christ really taught, think about it. At this point, I want to urge you, and I mean urge you, after this whole series I've covered here, I hope with all my heart that you will contact us and request this Bible study course, Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. That's Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. Just ask for the Bible Study Course. Click that order free button and request this copy, and this subscription will be sent to you for the first four lessons. And then if you pass the test, if you take the test, if you study, if you want it, you keep right on. It's all free all the way through. This Bible Study Course will open your eyes to literally hundreds, I mean hundreds of things in the Bible you have never understood before. Study this course. It's different. It does not tell you just to give your heart to the Lord. It is filled with detailed information, historical information, technical information, and information about the prophecies of the Bible and the whole purpose of human existence. So click the order free button on our website and request this free Bible study course right now. And I mean it, it can change your life. So it's been a privilege to be here with you in this series on the Gospel of Matthew. Let us know if you've appreciated it, if you've learned from it. And I hope that you'll keep in touch with us and follow through, because in this same space here, we're going to be covering other books in the Bible. Others of our men in this work will be covering other books in the Bible thoroughly. And then I'll be back in maybe a few weeks or a few months covering the Gospel of John, because it's so different, and going into that tremendously deep book. Then the book of Acts, and perhaps later, the epistles of Paul. So if you want to learn in detail, just keep watching right here. We're here to serve you. We're here to prepare for the kingdom of God. This is Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God.